Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruth E.C.
This half hour is presented by the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Well, good morning to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. In studio with me, we have Amber Southard. She's the Public Information Officer of the Sheriff's Office and also the Sheriff himself, Sheriff David Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah.
So we were discussing off air before the program began, but now just so everyone else knows that we're all recovered after the storm, debris cleaning up, everything going smoothly.
You know, I think we're like everybody else in Escambia and Santa Rosa County just trying to assess the damage and clean up from there, debris in yards, debris still kind of on the sidewalks and everything. So you kind of got to look out for that kind of stuff. But we're getting through it. We're Escambia County. We're strong.
Of course.
We'll get through this.
Yeah, we're Escambia County strong.
We'll be recovering for a very, very long time. We were 1 mile an hour under a Cat 3 hurricane. Everybody remembers Ivan was a strong Cat 3, almost a Cat 4. And it was years before people recovered. So I think we're going to trim that quite a little bit, due to experience and many other things. And not only our state, but the country's gotten better at recovering from disasters too, whether it be a flood or hurricane, tornadoes or whatever. So the whole response is a lot swifter and more accurate in what needs to be done in rebuilding your infrastructure, getting power back on, getting the water systems cleared out, et cetera. So that recovery would be quicker. It's those who suffered the devastating loss that are going to be a long time. And then, you know, we drove around Bristol Park the other day and went out to Perdido Key and Interiority Point, and there are people out there that have lost everything in all those locations I just described. So while many of us lost shingles, limbs are down, trees are down, et cetera, we can correct that pretty quickly. When you've lost your home, you know, when you basically are without a place to stay now, that's devastating. Let's just be honest about it. And that's when they need the assistance of family, friends, and government. And so that's what we're here for.
I just want to remind people we are Facebook Live right now. So if you have any questions, feel free to text them there. We're getting a few that are saying good morning. Good morning to everybody telling us that. Right. And we've got a question from actually Stockbridge, Georgia. They want to know if we've been declared a disaster yet.
No, we have not at the presidential level. That's being worked with Governor DeSantis and, of course, through the FEMA folks, the Federal Emergency Management folks are working. The director of FEMA was down and sat with Congressman Gates. Senator Scott's been here. Senator Rubio has been here. So we've got all that, you know, federal level horsepower, I think, that we need to get it through. There's a process that you go through, so I'm not really sure, why it's being held up. I know one of the things FEMA did describe to us is as to why it hasn't happened. They used drones and did aerial photos. And unfortunately, because this was much more of a flood event, a water event, than standard hurricanes, where it's wind damage, where, you know, entire roofs are off, trees are down all over, much more like Ivan, that had more power to it. A lot of the damage they could not assess from the air. And so they have teams on the ground, and they've got to go through now and, you know, get that assessment done. And I know that's been ongoing for the last couple of days. And we know we're going to hit the dollar thresholds, but that's also matched by state dollars. Mm. And so I know the state's having to, you know, come up with some money too. So that's the ugly backside of this, to be honest with you. And while it seems very easy, I know Alabama got theirs. One of the reasons why is Alabama got out front of it, and the governor declared it a disaster. Fully 2 or 3 days before we did, so their process was ahead of ours, and we kind of delayed that. And again, I'm not sure why. That's not a thing that the sheriff does, and that's held us back.
We're getting a few more questions about the Garcon Point Bridge. You know, we've been in the Emergency Operations Center for a few days now, about a week, a little longer than a week now, and we've had a bunch of state representatives come through, Alex Andretti being one, and he's really been working on the tolls for the Garcon Bridge and getting them lifted and working with the governor and other state officials for that. So somebody was just asking about that. I believe they were lifted for another 30 days.
They were.
Yeah, it's well into October. Yeah, it was an additional 30 days, and then, of course, they'll review it then because it will be a long time without the 3 mile bridge, so everybody just needs to kind of get ready. I'm not sure if there's any temporary fix that they can do. I know that's You know, people are discussing that, everything from getting a ferry system up that maybe wouldn't necessarily move cars but move people. That creates logistical problems and traffic problems and on and on and on. So right now people are, I wouldn't say they're flailing, but they're looking for a good alternative for the bridge being out that long. And I think the alternative is when you get in your car, just plan on being in your car for a while.
Right, and I know with the ferry system, the city of Pensacola is trying to work, and the city of Gulf Breeze both working together to try and figure out the best solution. And again, there's a logistics that needs to be solved. Where are you going to park your cars? Are you going to willing to leave your car and bus to work from there? Just there's a lot to go into that. That is for sure when it comes to the ferry system. And you had mentioned there was a few questions that came in on the Facebook Live post.
Yeah. They were just basically asking about the Garcon Point. But going off the ferry thing, I think there are a lot of conversations that are happening right now. It sounded as if at the press conference yesterday that the mayor's office is working with Gulf Breeze to get something like that, as the sheriff was just recently speaking about. So I think there's ideas being thrown out. We all remember, if you were here for Ivan, you remember when the I-10 bridge went out and, you know, we had to come together as a community and try to figure out how to get that open, and the temporary bridge, you know, was something that they did there. So I think we'll see a lot of ideas coming from this, and hopefully something will get implemented soon, because I mean, we've all got friends and family that are trying to travel back and forth through there, and I know I've heard people it's taken them 2 hours and 45 minutes during peak travel time to get from Gulf Breeze to Pensacola. I just don't think that's something we can sustain very long as a community.
Well, having lived in some places that had peak volume traffic, I've lived in Los Angeles, etc., one of the things that you need to look at before doing some things that cost more money and not, don't necessarily help the situation, not that I'm averse to the ferries, it's just I need to be convinced that that's really the answer. You can also stagger working hours and to get your traffic. So when I was in Los Angeles, we had people that literally came to work at 4 o'clock in the morning and they left at 2. And we had like 3 separate shifts during the day, with the last shift not leaving to go home until about 8 o'clock at night. But they didn't show up until around noon, 1 o'clock. And so that staggered the traffic, because traffic, in, as you can well imagine, in Los Angeles was just huge. I mean, and that was why I say you'd get in your car and you knew it was going to take you a considerable amount of time to get to work. Like, I lived 8 miles from the office. If I hit the traffic window, I could drive it in about 1 hour and 15 minutes to drive 8 miles. If I didn't hit the traffic window, it was 2 hours. So that's why we staggered those hours. And you can work with the business owners and here in town and make sure that happens. So that's an alternative that people need to talk about, too.
I do want to remind our listeners that you can also join in on the conversation by calling in at 437-1620. You can also text in at that line as well. And we do have a text question right now. So with Hurricane Sally now passed, what are the top three law enforcement issues, Sheriff Morgan, you are now concerned about?
Well, we will be concerned about looting is number one. And it really ties in with number two, which is the continued protection of service for the citizens of Escambia County. And we're focused on looting right now. What we described earlier, we don't need to have people suffer a second loss while you had to evacuate your property. People didn't take all their valuables with them. Why? Because they didn't have time for that, number one. And number two, you're getting out of the area. So unfortunately, weapons, jewelry, a lot of things that didn't or would not be affected by a flood or that you can clean up have been left in people's homes. And so we've increased our patrol coverage for those areas, places where Pensacola Beach is a good example. Most of the residents are there. They have power. They have water. They have sewer. They have all the things that they need. So we're not as aggressively patrolling in the area of Pensacola Beach. All the business owners and property owners are in place. We've got other places in our county on the west side and up in the north end where people have evacuated their homes because they're not habitable. And so we're focusing on those areas. So that providing a level of security to our citizens. And then the last thing I will tell you, we're very, very concerned about our personnel. As Amber just said, we haven't been out on patrol working 12-hour shifts. Our people have. So the men and women at the sheriff's office, we hit a point where, you can actually go into what's called mission failure, meaning that the fatigue, et cetera, has set into the point that people are inattentive to what they're doing. Your car accidents go up and that sort of thing. So we've got to balance that. We've got to start retrograding back out of these excessive operations just for the health, morale, welfare of the men and women of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
We're getting more questions. Deborah wants to know, has the power been restored? Deborah, I'm not exactly sure if 100% of the power has been restored. I know yesterday we were driving around some areas and they still didn't have power, but I've seen the crews out there working. I actually went by Publix last night to pick something up for dinner, and there was a bunch of linemen in there at the deli, and we were all, you know, thanking them for all the hard work that they're doing around here. And they said when they leave here, they're heading to Houston. A lot of them had come from mm-hmm. Lake Charles and were telling us that the power is still kind of out over there in certain areas. So they are working hard on that. Hopefully there'll be a press conference at 3 o'clock today at the Emergency Operations Center. Maybe they'll address that there. Maybe Gulf Power representative will be there that to address the power.
Yeah, they're telling us that it's 95% restored. Now, it's important you understand what that means. That's 95% power restored to poles. Okay, you may have a house or there may be a community. We drove around some yesterday out in Perdido Key and Interiority Point. You've got power restored to the pole, but what they cannot hook the power back up to your house for a whole host of reasons. Number one, the lines may not be there. And number two, your house, your structure now has to pass inspection for them to connect to your house and turn the power back on because it is a fire hazard. And so, therefore, you may have power to your community, but not power to certain houses. And that's another explanation as to why you can't see the power on.
Another question we got from Chris, he's wanting to know, has there been any thought on enforcing the traffic off the road so the cleanup can be done in a timely manner?
Yes, we first try the courteous method where we have patrols that are escorting, in case you haven't noticed, and also the traffic control points that are being manned by the Asplund Corporation, which are removing trees, and then all the different power companies. The problem that we have with that is while I can legally restrict you from getting to your house, it's not good business. And so, therefore, if we set up traffic and say we're not going to let anybody travel down this street until the power's done, well, I may be keeping you from your home. And the problem with that is we talked about, even with the curfew, if you left your house to go get formula for your child and the mm-hmm. curfew's in place, and now, you know, let's be reasonable here, I'm not going to allow you back to your home with the food for your child? And the answer is, of course, I am. So a lot of common sense has to be exercised, not only by law enforcement, but by the citizens that are on the receiving end of this. So we just ask for your patience and your understanding and show a little concern for the other citizens.
Another question from Anise. Is there an organization to help seniors on limited income clean up debris, such as fallen trees? I know sitting in the EOC, we had several faith-based organizations reach out, and they're doing just this. I think one was like a Lutheran church. There was a few Baptist churches that came in from all over, from Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, to help us. So, yes, there are. How to get in contact with some of those? Again, you might want to contact the county. I think they had phone numbers for some of these organizations. Another Facebook page to follow is the Pensacola Chamber of Commerce, their Facebook page. They've listed some organizations, some businesses that are open and organizations that can help.
Red Cross and Salvation Army are doing that too. Mm-hmm. So get a hold of those two folks. And if they don't know and they're not doing it, as Amber just said, they'll get you in touch with who is.
Yes.
Now, I know we had a number of traffic issues, especially in areas that had gas stations that had gas. Do we have any reported issues, incidents that occurred at gas stations?
We did have, as you can well imagine, the first couple of days, both the Pensacola Police Department and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office responded. And it was, again, primarily due to people not being courteous. If you've sat in line for an hour and a half to get gas and someone comes off of a side street and jumps line, that doesn't go down real well with everybody that's been sitting in this line for an hour and a half. So it gets back to, again, exercising a little common sense and courtesy to your fellow citizens, and that's what they primarily were. And then, of course, the gas stations are run out of gas. I mean, if your luck's like mine, I sit in line for 2 hours, I'm the next in line to get gas, and there's no gas. And so mm-hmm. people get upset about that, and then I've got to travel around and find another gas station. We didn't, oddly enough, the problem that we had was not a lack of gas in Escambia County. It was the ability to access it. Not all of our service stations have the transfer switch where they can go from, Gulf power to emergency power, meaning generator power. And so, therefore, we had so many of these service stations literally setting on tankfuls of gasoline that could not be accessed. So we're working that issue through the legislature. I didn't really get the answer I wanted to hear about what the Florida legislature's approach on that is, but the sheriff's attitude is if it only costs about $50,000, as I understand, to put in a transfer switch, so you could literally pull a generator up and hook it up and pump gas for your citizens. The lines were caused by that, by the way. We had plenty of gas and plenty of service stations, but we had limited service stations that had power that could actually pump the gas. And so these lines were created by this lack of planning on businesses' parts in order for us to be able to go to emergency power. So our recommendation to the Florida legislature is make that a part of the cost of doing business in Florida. If you build a service station and you've got, you know, if you want to limit the number of pumps, I guess you could do that. If you've got four or more pumps, let's say, you have to be able to access that in, even in an emergency situation. I get a little bit frustrated and irritated with people. We live in Florida. We have tropical storms. We have floods. We have hurricanes, et cetera. It's not a matter of are we going to have one. It's how many are we going to have. So if you haven't had one, there's one coming towards you. I can almost guarantee you that. So how about we use a little common sense here when we rebuild after one of these events to be more prepared for the next one? And part of that is being able to access, you know, all the gas that we had here.
So we do have another text message question. Mm-hmm. And again, you may call or text in with any questions at 437-1620. Also, Escambia County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. You can ask a question on there as well. They are live on Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. Did you have issues with deputies going deep into overtime, putting in additional hours as we were going, as we were having to work the additional time, doing patrol, especially in certain areas that were deeply affected?
We closely monitor a deputy's time on duty, and by that I mean to ensure we don't have the mission creep of overload. We don't want to cause the deputies to be allowed to work to the number of hours that they're not making rational decisions. The only issue that we currently have is you know, do we get the funds that we need from FEMA to take care of the overtime? So that is a concern at the administrative level. I can't not provide security services for the citizens of Escambia County by statute. I can't just say I don't have the money. We have to respond, and we'll work the money side of it later. So the big concern for the overtime is not the amount of hours. It's the ability to pay for that.
So FEMA is, assuming we get the grant, that right. would pay for the overtime.
They are matching funds. The state has to also pay for part of it.
Okay, so again, 437-1620, that's the phone number. I want to add that the Escambia County Emergency Operations Center, the press conferences are extremely informative, and it's great to hear from our local law enforcement. It's great to hear from our officials that give us updates. I want to just take a moment to express the importance that the Emergency Operations Center plays a role in its county.
In an emergency situation, you got to remember, especially, let's say you're new here, I'd say for older citizens that have been through these events before, it's not as traumatic emotionally, but you have to be, I don't want to parrot the president too much here, but you literally have to ensure that you're the voice of calm in the middle of this storm, that, hey, we know what we're doing. We've done this before. We plan for the hurricane season a couple of months out. We go to all of our precincts. We make sure that there's food and water supplies there, that we have an adequate number of chainsaws, there's gas there. We check all of our generators. And so we kind of basically sit and wait for this to be an added duty at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. You know, we're on patrol doing investigations, taking reports, doing all those things that law enforcement agencies do. And oh, by the way, in the event we get hit by a hurricane, we are ready to transition into emergency operations and assist, you know, the fire department, EMT on rescues, et cetera. We have chainsaws so we can literally cut our way out of our precincts if need be, and also to work very quickly to get the major thoroughfares open so the fire department and EMT can also respond. And then we're followed behind, of course, with the roads and bridges folks at the local county level here. They assist in all that too. So we do all of this prior preparation. And what you have to convey to the people in these press conferences is, I know the county, they haven't leveled any directly at the sheriff's office yet, but I'm sure we'll end up being a target at some point. You know, some people are frustrated that, and they're saying that, you know, was the county prepared? I can tell you that from our perspective at the sheriff's office, we were prepared months out, and we do this every year. It's not anything new. The county folks, have got a tremendous job to do too. So it's, I'd be very careful in being overly critical because while I call it bringing it home, and the example I use is, if there's a murder tonight in Escambia County and it's, John Smith, I can guarantee you within 24 hours, I said, on Wednesday there was a murder in Escambia County. Do you remember the guy's name? And you will not remember John Smith's name. However, if that family member murdered is your family member, you know, your mother, father, brother, sister, wife, whatever, you will remember that day for the rest of your life. in an emergency situation, if my roof's off, okay, this is the only thing that you should be concerned about is replacing my roof. Well, folks, I've got thousands of people without roofs, and we have to prioritize that. You know, first we go and we have a priority list. You know, we got to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. You know, we have a lot of nursing homes and facilities around here. So if they are suffering from lack of power, and we work with the Gulf Power and all the groups that come in to assist us, they go there first because they are the ones with the greatest need, and they are people that are at a point in their lives where they can't do certain things for themselves. So that's a priority list that we have, and we follow that. And just, again, remember, a little patience and concern will go a long way right now. Trust me, if you have a need, someone will get to you. It just may not be as quick as you'd like.
I really like at the Emergency Operations Center, you've got the heads of pretty much every organization here all in one room. So the amount or the capability to get those questions answered is instant. So it's very nice to be able to look over and say, FHP, what's going on this roadway? And then being able to get it for you right there, even if we do are having communication issues due to the storm. So it is very nice to get all that information there. Then it is nice to take that information out and get it to our public as fast and accurately as we can. So that's kind of the idea of it, is that we're all housed in one area. We're working for the county. We're working for the citizens. We're all able to work together in such a great way to bring that information, the latest, the best, the most accurate information out, so people know what's going on in their community and what to expect.
So we have about 3 minutes left. I want to get a couple of questions in here. One, how's everything going over at Pensacola Beach? And I know the bridge is currently limited to traffic flow. Are we still experiencing those limitations? And just how's patrolling the beach going?
It's going well, and we're getting a lot of tremendous comments from the beach residents because again, we pack the beach with enough deputies to ensure that there isn't any looting from either side. The bridge is going to be an issue for a little while. That bridge, of course, is still passable, but you're only using one side of the bridge. That's not a law enforcement call. That's the Florida Department of Transportation. They work with their roads and bridges section, and that's got to be cleared from an engineering perspective that it can go back and take the load. There was a lot of wash at the foot of the bridge on both ends, where they were concerned about some structural integrity. They're also limiting the load on that bridge. There's actually an FDOT engineer there with the person controlling the traffic. So if you pull up with a multi-axle vehicle and it exceeds the weight limitations, they'll turn you around. So they're monitoring the beach closely. It's open for business. I know the hotels and the restaurants are coming open. The problem is going to be, as always when you have bridge issues, is accessibility.
And also, I want to ask about Perdido. Is Theobar's Bridge still restricted access to residents only, or is this passable for anyone?
It will be opening on Thursday, I believe Thursday morning at 7 o'clock. But right now we do control the traffic out there because of the massive amount of cleanup. And even after we open that up, for those of you that have family and friends in that area that you're wanting to get out there and see and to help or whatever, you'll understand why. It's a war zone out there. I mean, it's unfortunately almost catastrophic in some areas.
Is there still a curfew in place out there?
There is. And that'll be lifted on Thursday, too.
Okay. And that curfew, again, it starts at midnight, goes till 6 a.m.?
No, it's 10. They changed it 10 a.m. Okay. to 6 p.m. Or, I'm sorry, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. I'm sorry.
All right. So, again, if you have any quick questions in there and that you want to get in, 437-1620. We also have Facebook Live running on the Escambia County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. Anything that I'm missing that I haven't asked that you want to make sure you get out there?
No, we just want to make sure that if you need assistance, please use the 911, or if it's a non-emergency, 436-9620. I want to give a shout-out to our dispatchers. We think of, our deputies are jam-up. They're some of the best around, and they have been working their tails off on these shifts and doing a great job. But our dispatchers, they're the ones that were taking your phone calls. They're the ones that were getting the deputies to where you needed to be, and they were working long hours as well, and they have done an amazing job. So we really do appreciate everybody's efforts at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. It's a group effort. It's a team effort, and we're your sheriff's office. We try to be the best when it comes to that.
Excellent. So, well, everybody, again, I appreciate everything that you do personally out there protecting our community, especially during a time where, we're dealing with COVID-19. And then we're handed a hurricane that is at catastrophic levels. We have sections of Escambia County that as we mentioned, are like war zones right now, but we're doing our best to watch the looting, the curfew, keeping everybody safe. I thank you for what you do for our community, and we look forward to having you on again here in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Get another update. It'll be a lot smoother at that time, I'm sure.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, well, Amber Southard, Public Information Officer, and Sheriff David Morgan, thank you for the time today.
Thank you.
And Mark Jacobs, what do you have coming up in your news today?